And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Happy Thursday, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. This is another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga and Anna Dua with you. Producer Bob Bender getting set for March Madness behind the scenes, and fantasy hockey owners getting set for the fantasy hockey playoffs. The Week 21 mailbag edition of the pod. Who's hot? Who's not? All that's coming your way today on the show. What's happening, Anna?
It's a great day, Nick. The sun's out shining. Connor McDavid still tearing it up in the league. I swear to God, everywhere I look, I can't avoid this guy. He has almost 30 points in just over 10 games. He's on another level, but you know what? You would think that would be the most important news of the day. I know our producer sure wishes it was. I just got to start off this episode by saying Pyotr Kochetkov's back in the NHL, baby.
I had this highlighted, circled, bolded, italicized for you on the show today. So we will get to that, but we should welcome in our guest, Jay Kahn from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, co-host The Point, of course, alongside Boomer Gordon. What's up, Jake?
Nick, Anna, great to be with you guys today on this episode. And like you said, Connor McDavid tearing up the league, as we know, and I'm fortunate enough to get to go see him live on Saturday when he comes into Toronto. So I am just hoping he stays healthy in this game against the Boston Bruins, and I get to see McDavid play hockey live on Saturday. I'm pretty fired up for that.
Hell, Jake, you're getting choked up about it. I get it.
I am.
The guy's on a different planet.
He gets me emotional.
He does too to me. Like, we live in Toronto, we live in Canada. Maybe it's a bit different in the States, but this is jammed down our throats every day, and he deserves it, right? Like, I think you look at the numbers, you look at the pace. I even saw the conversation the other day on TV. Will he get to 70 goals? We're at that level right now with Connor McDavid. It's insane.
Well, and I think 70 is actually very achievable, which is kind of crazy to say, especially with Connor McDavid. We never really looked at him as that true goal scorer, even though he'd gone over 40 goals, but he's taken it to another level in terms of his shot generation and finishing ability. Like, we're seeing him finish at a much higher rate than he has throughout the course of his career. And just look at the schedule down the stretch, guys. Like, it's some pretty easy opponents for the Oilers the last 15 games or so. A lot of Arizona games, a lot of San Jose games, a couple Anaheim games in there. Could be free point night. It seems like it's free point night for McDavid, no matter who he plays, but there could be some big games there for McDavid down the stretch if he has that chase for 70 goals. And you know the boys are going to try to find him. If he gets up to that 67, 68, 69 range, the guys are going to be trying to find him. He'll be getting the empty netters. And I think he's going to take a run at it. It's going to be pretty fun down the stretch to watch.
Guys, I went to middle school in Richmond Hill, and I remember when I was going to school in that area, they would have pictures of notable York Region alumni like on our walls. So I got to wonder right now if any of our listeners are actually in that area, if there's pictures of Connor McDavid just all around as a notable York Region alumni. But moving back to the Edmonton Oilers, we talk about how strong the East is, Jake. The West, it seems like it's Edmonton's conference to lose right now. Do you think they're the clear favorite right now to run away with it?
I'm very high on the Oilers. I think higher than most. It's just something in my mind says at some point McDavid's going to win a Stanley Cup. Like prime Connor McDavid, It's just hard to envision his career passing by this era and him not getting one. And I think the Oilers have set themselves up for success. I actually really like what they did at the deadline. I don't know where you guys stand. I know they were in on Jacob Chychrun. Ultimately, they end up getting Matthias Ekholm for the blue line. I actually think Ekholm is better for them in the short term, trying to win a Stanley Cup this year. Maybe long-term Chychrun's the play, and I actually do like what Ottawa did going out and getting Jacob Chychrun. But for the short term, I think Matthias Ekholm with his playoff experience and just the way that he plays on the back end is exactly what the Oilers need. We saw what McDavid did in the playoffs last year, right, guys? He averaged 2 points a game against elite competition. The only thing that stopped him was the Colorado Avalanche, and nobody was beating them last year. Colorado's still good. Colorado still very much could win the Stanley Cup again this year, but they're going to have to work for it. They're going to have to go 6-7 games in these series. So, yeah, if you're asking me right now, Anna, who I'm picking to come out of the West, it is indeed Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers.
And coming up on Thursday, it's the clash of the Titans as the Edmonton Oilers visit the Boston Bruins. And one name that could be back for the Oilers, who I think is a big X factor, believe it or not, Evander Kane. And that's perfect for fantasy owners as well, right, Jake?
Oh, yeah. I'm really pumped to see Evander Kane get back into this lineup. And you could just load him into your fantasy lineups, no problem. I'm really curious what they do with the line combinations now moving forward, because you actually see some of these depth guys over the last couple of weeks playing quite well for the Oilers. And that's always been the knock is, we can't get anything from Yamamoto. We can't get anything from some of these other guys. They've been very usable in fantasy hockey of late. when Kane comes, you know, maybe it hurts their production a little bit, but it just makes the Oilers that much of a better team. I would expect them to obviously go into the top six, maybe not the first power play. They tend to put Kane on the second unit, let Hyman stay up on that first unit with Nugent Hopkins and Draisaitl and McDavid. And looks like Evan Bouchard's going to get the bump now the rest of the season with Tyson Barrie moving on. So I would expect him to go top six and second power play unit.
Last quick thing on the Oilers before we move on from this team. I got to ask, we talk a lot about the Boston Bruins, Carolina Hurricanes as having so much offensive depth in the NHL, but so many guys on the Oilers are having ridiculous years and we're not even talking about them. Ryan Nugent Hopkins, Zach Hyman, among league leaders in so many categories. Connor McDavid's in a world of his own, but those guys are having phenomenal years as well. Would Edmonton maybe be in that conversation for the most offense depth in the NHL?
I would think so. I mean, it's kind of funny to say because we always looked at them as this top heavy team, right? That was carried by two guys, Batman and Robin. And it was just the rest. You're just hoping to get something from the rest of the players. Guys, is Ryan Nugent Hopkins not having the quietest great Crazy. Season in the NHL? Like nobody is talking about Ryan Nugent Hopkins. And maybe it's because he's on the power play with McDavid and he's getting these top 6 minutes, but I think at some point we got to give the guy some props, right? Like you can't just put anybody with these players and they're going to put up these kind of numbers. I think Ryan Nugent Hopkins deserves a little bit of props at some point.
Oh, definitely. And I think you even think back to the heyday era where it was like Hall and then it was Nugent Hopkins. In my craziest world, I could never suspect that Ryan Nugent Hopkins would be the better player of the two, but here we are in 2023. I know the Hart Trophy is attached to Paul's name, but I still think Nugent Hopkins has been unbelievable this season and trending upwards for that team. And I do like the depth. The one concern, as per usual, is the goaltending. I think Stuart Skinner has been great lately. They have one goalie on that roster right now. Let's face it. I mean, Jack Campbell. They're talking about buying out Jack Campbell, so we'll leave that conversation at that. You know what's crazy about this whole conversation since maybe the All-Star break? The Minnesota Wild have flown completely under the radar, guys. Like 9-0-2 in the last 11. So they're looking at an 11-game point streak. But I want to get into the Kirill Kaprizov injury. Flattened like a pancake on Wednesday night with Logan Stanley, who's a big, big dude. What's your breakdown of Kaprizov, Jake? Because he's been outstanding this year. And how much could that hurt? Obviously, that hurt them big time. But losing Kaprizov on a fantasy roster around playoff time, just terrible.
Well, first of all, if you guys don't see me moving forward, it's because I moved to a private island thanks to Minnesota Wild unders. It's insane what this team is doing on a night-to-night basis. Like, it's 2-1 every night. I know in that game that you just referenced, Nick, where he went down, it ended up being 4-2, but it took an empty netter late to go over the 5.5, and if you had the 6, it ends up pushing. But it's just amazing the style that this team is playing this year compared to last year. Last year, Minnesota was probably the most exciting team, win or lose, in the NHL. Yeah. It was like 5-4, 6-5 every single night. Now it's the complete opposite. It's 2-1. It's 3-2. It feels like soccer on ice some nights. And you mentioned Kaprizov. Like I'm watching this game live. I could see him in some discomfort leaving. And I thought if he's out for an extended period of time, like that's, I don't want to say it's over for them if he's hurt long-term, but it feels like it, because if I think of players, and everyone clearly agrees Connor McDavid's the MVP runaway this year. But if I talk about players who get that 2-3 seat at the NHL awards, Kaprizov is very much in that conversation to me. I think he's been so important to what Minnesota does. The little offense they've been able to have this year all goes through him. So if you lose him, that team is really going to struggle even strength, in my opinion. So I think if you're a Wild fan, you're just hoping and praying that this is something short term and is not going to bleed anywhere close to the playoffs.
We even had a listener question asking if Kaprizov would get to 125 points. I think my answer has changed now that he's banged up. Hopefully he's back soon. But Anna, you look at the numbers since the All-Star break for this team. We were in beautiful sunrise, of course, 10-4-3. But most impressively is the goaltending. And I know defensive structure, Jake just picked up on that. But they've allowed 31 goals in the past 17 games. It's a 1.82 goals against average. Pretty crazy.
I was just about to bring that up because maybe is Marc-Andre Fleury back, guys? He has 4 straight wins, a shutout in those 4 games, putting up great numbers all across the board. He had like 46 saves, I think, against Winnipeg yesterday. Yeah. So he's playing ridiculous hockey right now. It seemed like Philip Gustafson was stealing the show in Minnesota, but Fleury's right back there. I think they have a very solid goalie tandem. I'd actually like to hear Jake's thoughts about that because I know a lot of people gave up on Marc-Andre Fleury in fantasy this year.
Yeah, he looked like the vintage Marc-Andre Fleury in that game, did he not? He's just kind of fighting. Like, he's such a fighter out there. He just kind of getting a pad on things, getting a shoulder on things, and just flying around post to post. It was actually really fun to watch. And Winnipeg should have won that game. Like, Minnesota was on the second half of a back-to-back and Winnipeg just dominated them. And it was just a classic Fleury performance. So if you've got both of those goaltenders, and I think they're kind of pushing each other. I maybe a bit of a chip on the shoulder of Marc-Andre Fleury to be outperformed by Philip Gustavsson all year to say, hey, I'm still here. I can still win us important games. If you want to put me in the second half of a back-to-back, fine. I'll go out there and I'll be my vintage Marc-Andre Fleury self. And look, come playoff time, to have those two guys, if Gustavsson continues to play at this level and you get the Fleury that we just saw the other night against the Winnipeg Jets, that's a pretty scary tandem that the Minnesota Wild can roll out there. But ultimately, it comes down to the health of Kirill Kaprizov. If he's out long-term and it bleeds into the playoffs, I don't really like Minnesota's chances anymore.
Not to mention, they still have a shot at first in the Central Division right now. It's going to be a dogfight down the stretch to see who wins that division. Jake, do we know the eight teams that are going to play in the West for the Stanley Cup playoffs? Or are you like some people who are still giving Calgary or Nashville a chance here?
Not Nashville. Nashville's a no for me. I know they have games in hand, but
they
just don't
Thomas
think
Novak, though.
Yeah, yeah, you're a big Thomas Novak guy. And he actually has been playing quite well. I will give him credit from an individual standpoint. I just don't think Nashville is very good this year. I had never really bought into them this season. And I think a lot of the great stories we saw from last year with the Predators from an individual standpoint have kind of dried up. And yes, there's a couple guys that are getting some minutes here now down the stretch. So I'm out on the Preds. I'm going to give the Flames a chance still, just because the schedule sets up for them. They have some really easy winnable games down the stretch. The problem is, Calgary leads the league in bad losses this year. Games that they should have won, whether they dominated those games or games against inferior opponents that they end up losing. So they still have to take care of their business, but the schedule is there for them. They got a couple breaks, I'll call it, in that road back-to-back. You know, Toffoli scores late, then they get the overtime reviewed goal called back, and they end up winning that game. So that was a big 4 points for Calgary in a really difficult situation. Now when the schedule gets easier, you take care of your business, and I think they could put a charge into a Jets team that seems like they're in a bit of a free fall right now.
Jay crushing the hopes on a Tyson Berry revenge arc in this postseason. But talking about the Winnipeg Jets, you kind of set me up there. I think they're the odd team out right now that's currently in a wild card spot. Are you concerned about the way Connor Hellebuck's playing as of late? I know a couple of months ago we were talking about him in the Vezina conversation right up there with Ullmark, and it seems like he's completely fallen off of his game recently. Is he going to be the reason that the Jets might miss out on the postseason this year?
Well, right now it's looking that way. And it's funny because, like you said, Anna, at one point we were talking about him in that Vezina race, and it does seem like now we've got a runaway winner in the Vezina race in Linus Ullmark. We've seen this with Hellebuck before. Like, he gets so hot where to the point where you just can't beat him. And then when it's not going well for him, it's the complete opposite. And that game that we just talked about against Minnesota, he just flat out cost them the game. He didn't make the saves that he needed to make. And he looked like he was really fighting the puck a little bit. It was that third goal that went through the five hole that I really just went, oof, like that's a bad one to give up in that moment. And then your team has to fight an uphill battle the rest of the way. Ultimately, I still think Winnipeg finds a way to stave off the Calgary Flames. I feel like there's a lot of talent on that roster, but how can we unlock Nick Ehlers, guys? That's what I need to know from you guys. Like, how can we get him going? Because the points are just not there. We know the skill's there. Do we give him more power play time? Do we find him a different line combination? I want to know how we get Nick Ehlers going here moving forward.
Well, let's not underestimate the loss as well of Pierre-Luc Dubois. They have Vlad Nemestikov, who's pretty much the modern-day Mike Sillinger, centering the second line. Like, this guy's been on pretty much every team in the league the last couple of years. It's insane. So he's a 2C for this team. He's playing with Wheeler and Ehlers. Ehlers picks up a point against Minnesota on Wednesday. But you're right. Like, he has not been the same Ehlers for a couple of years now. And I think it's paramount that Winnipeg gets that or they're going to be in trouble. If you're squeamish, plug your ears, guys. The numbers on Hellebuck, as you referenced, Anna, 3-5-1 since the All-Star break, 3-4-8, 8.95. Jake, you know what I attribute this to? No save Dave. No. They never have a backup goalie. There was one strong year of Laurent Boissois. He was unbelievable in a backup role. They haven't had a backup for Connor Hellebuck since he became an established talent in this league. I think he's way too fatigued. We talk about tandems all the time. He's like the only goalie in the league, and I'm including Vasilevsky, where he probably plays like 80% of the game still.
I like that you called him No Save Dave, because I feel like we called him Big Save Dave for way too long.
Way too
we
long.
Gave him way too much credit for that nickname. It just, it sounded so nice, right? Big Save Dave, but it's, you can't be called Big Save Dave when you're not making big saves. It's just as simple as that, right? So No Save Dave is kind of where we're at right now. It's funny. I actually streamed Riddick earlier this week in the Jets' first game, and I'm like seconds away from a nice, neat and tidy 2-1 win. And then a bit of a tough bounce, to be honest, for the Jets. It just bounces over to Hurdle. He ties the game. Ultimately, Couture scores in overtime and wins that thing. And Riddick tries to go a full Bo Jackson over the knee with that stick. Yeah. So not only is he losing games for them, but he's hurting himself in the process. Like, it's got to be pretty difficult to break a goalie stick over the leg, guys. I don't know if either of you have ever tried it. I've certainly broken some hockey sticks, maybe some golf clubs in my day, but I've never tried the goalie stick. It seems a little too thick to go over the knee.
That was an all-timer. I actually recorded it for GIF purposes, where it's like, if you're going to commit to that, Anna, you better break your stick or you're in trouble. You're going viral for the wrong reasons.
I know, you should have practiced. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it a try, guys. I'll come back next episode and let you know how well I do. But to be honest, I think so far this podcast is the most the Western Conference has been talked about in the NHL quite possibly ever this season. So I got to bring it back to the East, because it's done. We've done it too much. We gave them enough credit. We're moving back to our side of the continent, I guess, since you guys are in Canada. And I want to talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Tampa Bay Lightning, one of our fans actually asked questions and he just said Tampa, nothing else, no question, about the team in general, because what's going on with Tampa right now? Like, originally when we start off the season, we think the Lightning are going to be great. They have great players. Their players are having good years. This team's kind of falling apart right now. Do they pick it up back down the end of the stretch? Are they just going to turn it on in the playoffs? What do you see happening there with Tampa?
Yeah, we were actually talking about this on our show recently, and this is just classic Tampa. I feel like they do this every year. They set this trap late in the season where they make you think that they're tired. They make you think that they're too old and that the time has passed them, and everyone's like, okay, this is the Leafs year, or this is fill in the blank team's year in the Eastern Conference. I'm not falling for the trap, guys. I'm not doing it. I just think come playoff time, there is a switch that Tampa Bay can flick. And, you know, last year we saw them even lose game one of that first round series against the Maple Leafs, like 5-0. They just got blown out of the water. And I think a lot of people in that moment thought, okay, this is a Leafs in five. Like, they're just going to roll through this series. But there is that next gear that Tampa can go into. And I'm glad Victor Hedman's healthy. There was a bit of a scare there. It sounds like he's going to be good to go here down the stretch. I just look at that first round matchup, and we've known that first round matchup basically all season. I struggle to see Ilya Samsonov beating Andrei Vasilevsky over seven games. I really can't get there. So I trust Tampa way more than I trust Toronto right now. And then we're getting into a whole different conversation about Tampa versus Boston in the second round. But I have no concerns about the Lightning. And do either of you have any concerns about the Lightning?
Not in the postseason, but I mean, compared to the other teams in the East this year, I think that's the biggest difference. The difference isn't with Tampa, it's with every other team that they're going to be playing to get to the finish line. And for me, I was talking about this yesterday, and I want to know your opinion, both of you guys. We'll start with Jake. If you had to rank the teams that are already like leading in their divisions, Carolina, New Jersey, the Rangers, Boston, Toronto, Tampa, 1 to 6, on how much you like the strength of the team, how much value there is on the team, how would you do it? Because right now for me, Tampa might be sixth, which I wouldn't have said in any of the previous seasons.
Well, I think I would go Boston, Carolina, Tampa. I'm actually probably putting Toronto in there, and then New Jersey. And I actually might have the Rangers at six right now, just because I think, and I have a Rangers Cup future. So I'm rooting for the Rangers. I want to see them get it done. I just think it's a tough mix with all of these players coming in, and we need to give them some time to figure it out. Maybe by playoff time, they're rolling and we can trust them a little bit more, but that's how I would look at it. I just think come playoff time, Tampa is a different animal. And I don't know where you stand on this, Nick, but like, there's some good numbers out there for Tampa. I've seen some 18-1s flying around out there. And I would much rather take Tampa at 18-1 than the Leafs at +800, a Leafs team that hasn't won a playoff series since I can remember.
The best value you can find on an Eastern Conference futures without a shadow of a doubt right now is the Tampa Bay Lightning. They do not care what happens. And like, it's March. They know who they've been playing for like 2 months. So they really care if they have home ice or not in that series? Probably not. They beat the Leafs in game 7 at Scotiabank Arena last year. There's just way too many gamers on that roster. Love the Jeannot pickup. I think that's the most value you're going to find right now is in the Eastern Conference with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They got the closer, my guy, Andrei Vasilevsky. They got Hedman. They got Kucherov. They got Point. They got Stamkos. You get what I'm saying? Like, I of all the teams in league, Anna, I don't think Tampa is going to get involved in that conversation where they're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? We've lost 5 in a row. Where other teams, like you start to really get after it and question it. I know every time the Leafs lose a bunch in a row, people are wondering, you know, what's going on. Tampa's a team who I think they've earned this, Anna, where it's been so many years of success and so many years of going so far that we look right past whatever they do in the regular season.
I say this all the time. For me, it's just good goalies take you far in this league. And I'm so concerned with Vasilevsky this season.
Yeah.
Like, I just wish there was a stretch that I could focus on where I was like, you know, he's giving old school Vasilevsky, but he's been one of the biggest disappointments for me, at least in the net mining position. I'll give him some credit. It's been a fluky year for goalies all across the board. I'm not saying Shesterkin's doing better than Vasilevsky this year in terms of expectations, but I kind of have a bit more faith in him in the playoffs to be able to turn it on. Like, if I had to choose one goalie to have on my playoff team right now this postseason, I would lean Shesterkin over Vasilevsky.
So we'll piggyback off that, Jake. Who would you take as your first goaltender in fantasy hockey playoff pools?
That's a great question. It's interesting because the Western Conference is way more gettable. So if you target a team in the West that you really like, whether that is Edmonton or maybe it's Colorado or Dallas, if you like a Jake Oettinger, I think the path is a little bit easier. The problem is I don't know if I really trust the Edmonton goaltending situation. Colorado, I do trust a little bit more. And obviously we know who the guy is in Dallas. I think I know it's kind of a boring answer, but I think you just got to go to the safe pick and Linus Ullmark. Like Boston's been splitting starts all season long between Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman. And it's I think they've done a good job of keeping Ullmark fresh. Like the numbers we know are great. He's most likely going to run away with the Vezina Trophy, but come playoff time, they're going to pick a goalie and run with it. I assume they will. And I'm certain that that goaltender is going to be Linus Ullmark based on what he's done this season. So I got to go with that. I think they're going to have a very winnable series in round one against whatever wildcard team they get. I think Boston's going to be a heavy favorite there. So I feel like you're basically guaranteed at least two rounds of playoff hockey with your starting goaltender. And they'll obviously be the favorite in whatever matchup they get between Tampa Bay and Toronto as well. So I'd go Ullmark one off the board.
So let me ask both of you, Anna, we can start with you. Is there any concern with Boston? I know they've won 10 in a row, but automatically we start talking about this. I think about that Tampa team who was a juggernaut, win the President's Trophy, and then fell flat on their faces in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. What's your view of Boston right now, Anna?
I'm a very superstitious person. I am, just as an individual. So the only thing that can bring the Boston Bruins down in my eyes is this President's Trophy curse. Because the thing about this team, the thing about this team that sets them apart is I think everyone forgets how many injuries they were dealing with at the start of the season. And we kind of expected them to have a slower start to the year and then pick it up down the stretch. But this team went on an insane home winning streak to kick off the year. Trade deadline comes around. They only get better. Like, it seems like Boston is playing all of their cards right throughout this entire season. Ullmark gets a goalie goal. Like, this is like a movie. Someone could make a movie about this year because everything's going right for the Bruins. But that also scares me. Like, this looks like I'm watching like a Netflix special and like the season finale is going to come in the playoffs where it's all going to collapse. So if they're in good luck and they kind of manage to like wave off this curse that's been haunting the NHL for so long, it's definitely Boston's cup to lose this year.
The question is it the happy ending movie or is it the plot twist ending where the team loses in the end, right? That's the major question. But no, you're right. Like even Brad Marchand has referenced it throughout the course of this season that it's two different seasons. Like, yes, they've won the regular season. I think we can all agree that Boston's been the best team in this regular season. The reason why I still like them going into the playoffs is because of that veteran mindset that like, this doesn't really mean much to them. This doesn't mean much to Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron and all of these veteran players. They know that it's a totally different season when the playoffs start. I think they're going to be ready to go. That's not to say I'm guaranteeing that they win it. I do think they deserve to be the favorite. It's going to be a gauntlet in the Eastern Conference. Like they're going to have to beat, you know, whatever wildcard team, maybe Pittsburgh or the Islanders, then Tampa Bay or the Leafs, then probably Carolina or the Devils or the Rangers just to get to a cup final. It's not going to be an easy path, but I do think top to bottom, they are the best team in the NHL right now, without a doubt.
We talked last teams in the West. So I got to bring the conversation over to the East, guys. If the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Washington Capitals both aren't in the postseason this year, I'm actually going to cry for a week straight. I'm going to need to take some mental health days off of work because my childhood is over. I can't visualize an NHL playoffs without both of those teams, but it seems like Pittsburgh might be the odd one out. Washington's not making the postseason this year. Who do you have sneaking in? Maybe I have my eyes on either Ottawa or Buffalo. I don't think Florida's going to make it in this year. I'm not as confident in the dynamics of that team. So do you think Pittsburgh holds on? Do you think the Isles hold on? Do you think one of those other three looking in make it in?
I think that the Islanders and Pens ultimately hang on. And I've been doing a lot of looking at schedules over the last couple of weeks, because we're at that point of the season, not only from a fantasy perspective, right, guys, you want to optimize your schedule come fantasy playoffs, but also just from a team perspective as to who's going to make the playoffs here. And sets up pretty nicely for the Isles and for the Penguins. So Anna, I think you're going to get at least one of those teams in. I'm with you that Washington is, it looks like they're done. I just never really bought into Washington all season. They had that one little 2-week stretch where they played well. But I'm not in on Washington. I just think that they're too old. And I still like Pittsburgh. I think they have deficiencies in their own end. They're way too easy to play against in their own end. And I think they could be a pretty easy matchup for either Carolina or Boston in the first round. But I think they find a way to get into the playoffs. And you mentioned Ottawa too. I think they've been kind of the flavor of the last couple of weeks. The problem with the Sens, the schedule is just brutal. The teams they play down the stretch, it's so difficult. Yeah. So if Ottawa is going to make it, they're going to have to earn it. And I'll be a full cap tip if the Sens find a way in. That Sens team is fun, by the way. They're really building something special over the next couple of years there in Ottawa.
You don't go into Chicago, Alex DeBrincat revenge game, and you get hammered. And then on top of that, I don't know what that promenade was at center ice with Stützle and Lucas Reichel. Like, what are we doing in this league? It's insane to me. Anyways, they come out and get pumped too, Jake.
I know you played the Alex DeBrincat revenge shot prop.
I did.
You had to. What do you have, like 7 shots or something?
But I had the goal. I had the anytime goal.
Oh. Well, no one was scoring in that game. That was like a dud performance though, right? Oh. You go into Chicago, they're playing at such a high level and playing with so much confidence. I don't know if they took the Blackhawks lightly, what it was, what the reasoning was. And then you saw the frustration boil over late. Brady Tkachuk's getting tossed out of the game and doing Brady Tkachuk things. And like I said, you just go look at their schedule over the next couple of weeks. The rest of this road trip, I think they have 4 more games on this trip. And then they play teams like Colorado and Toronto and New Jersey. It's just a gauntlet of the best teams in the NHL. So if Ottawa makes it, I will certainly be very impressed, because they're going to have to beat some really good teams to get there.
Look, I get it. Kumbaya. We're all friends. Just don't show it on the ice. Please fake it. Please just fake it. I think I said on this podcast the other day, I do way too many hits around the league, but did I say Michael Hutchinson solidified last overall for Columbus? Was that this podcast, Anna? Can you remember? I did. I believe he did. It's like Jake, and I won't lie. So yeah. The Pittsburgh game's 4-0. I'm looking. I'm like, do I press the trigger on it's my guy. You know how I feel about Michael Hutchinson. Great dude. Covered him with the Leafs for a couple of years. He can't stop the puck. Like, honestly, I think he's worse than David Riddick. And I'm not trying to carve the guy on purpose. He comes into the game, gets lit up, and Pittsburgh comes back from the dead in that game. So, yeah, I'm with you on the Pens. I'm with you on the Islanders. I think they find a way. I'm a bit more bullish, I would say, on the Islanders because of Ilya Sorokin. Having said that, Jake, we need a couple plays out of you to wrap here. Is it crazy for me to go dog hunting in a team like Edmonton, the rest versus rest conversation? Boston's been off for a while. Edmonton's a wagon right now. Evander Kane might come back. Would you take a look, take a peek under the covers at the Edmonton Oilers?
Yeah, I'd be taking a peek. I like the price. I actually don't mind the price here. And anytime you can bet on Connor McDavid as a pretty significant underdog, I think you at least have to give it that look. I don't know what the point props for him are tonight. Probably come down a little bit from where he usually sits, right? Because it is a really difficult matchup against the Boston Bruins. So I don't mind it. I think it's something that's worth a look. Maybe wait and see on starting goaltenders for Boston in that game. Could I interest you in the Buffalo Sabres as a home dog here?
Sure.
Maybe. I know Dallas is a good team, but they've been kind of inconsistent lately. Dallas has not really been impressing me all that much. Buffalo's a team that can just step up and really beat anybody. I kind of like the price on home ice. It's always difficult to expect what you're going to get from the Sabres. You can get some pretty bad performances, but you can also get some pretty great performances, like how they beat Tampa Bay last week. So Buffalo, home dog, that has a little bit of interest for me on Thursday night.
Now, panning to the New York folks closer to us, I got to ask you, okay, the Rangers playing the Habs, favorable for the Rangers. Patrick Kane, anytime goal scorer, are you going to take it? Is this the game?
This should be the game, right? I feel like this is a game where the Rangers should go out there and get at least 5. So, and it may be late situation if he doesn't have a goal. If there's an empty net, you throw him out there because you just want to get him on the board. So I don't mind that one. And I think any Rangers prop is probably a good one tonight in Montreal. Although the Habs can be a little bit pesky and hang in these games. They hung in there with Carolina the other night, actually, which I thought was pretty impressive. So maybe they can actually hang in this game as well. And you can look at them as a live dog. But in terms of player props, I think I'm with you. Let's fire up the Patrick Kane goal prop for tonight. Tonight's the night.
How dare we besmirch the good name of Raphael Harvey Pinard like that? Montreal has been a crazy story this season. They've been losing, and now they just want to keep winning with this roster. It's insane. But anyways, Jake, we can go on for days with you. Thanks so much for this. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great talking to you guys. Enjoy the stretch run here before we get ready for the playoffs.
Once again, you can check Jake's workout over at SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. And we've been waiting like 30 minutes. Let's get into the Kochetkov conversation. Antti Raanta, your boy, an awkward fall against the Montreal Canadiens. So precautionary at this point as we do this podcast. But Kochetkov has been called up. I don't know what it means. I looked ahead to next week in fantasy playoffs. There's three games for the Carolina Hurricanes, Winnipeg, at Toronto, at Philadelphia. There's a back-to-back, but I don't know how long Raanta is going to be out. But it's been a crazy run for Kochetkov. Scored a goal, then excessively celebrated, then got in a fight because he excessively celebrated, then ejected the next night for trying to fight again. This guy's incredible, Anna. That's your guy.
He's the most fun goalie to watch ever in NHL history. I'm saying that right now. I've barely seen him in AHL history, at least for sure. He's on a different level. I said he's my spirit animal because he just goes out and has the time of his life every single game that he's playing in. He's back with the Canes. I'm so excited. He's had such good numbers across the fact that he's played under, what, like 25 games in his NHL career so far. So you got to cut the guy some slack. He was just going through a little bit of a slow period, but he's so young. It takes these goalies some time to find their groove in this league. So I hope he gets a little bit more opportunity. He was good in the postseason for Carolina. I think he holds down the fort. So I really, really hope he's able to make something happen here. But they have a three-headed goalie monster. And at different points this year, all of those goalies have looked so good. Raanta's had some very impressive shutouts for the Canes this year. And he's obviously had way more experience than Kochetkov. So I don't know if he holds on to that spot. But for now, I'm happy. This is the highlight of my week so far, Nick.
It really is incredible. And you look at the body of work for Kochetkov. Hell, I took a flyer in the sky earlier on this year to win the Calder, but just a crowded crease. 10-4-5 in the NHL, 2-3-3, 9-13, three shutouts. AHL numbers pretty good too, 13-5-2, 2.39, 9-1-6, one shutout. I think without question moving forward, he has the potential to be the number one goalie for the Carolina Hurricanes, just not now. So I think we're taking a paused approach, right? If people are mulling over picking up Kochetkov, I would wait and see a couple days, right?
Yeah, just hold on to it. I've been holding on to him just because I'm loyal to him as a person. But if
he's still on your roster,
he's still on my roster. I wouldn't let go of him because you know what? I'll take the L in my league as long as I'm giving Kochetkov the love and appreciation that he deserves. So just saying this right now, I'm going to pull out this clip in like 10 years when he's like the Vezina winner year after year. And everyone's like, he's the best goalie in NHL history. I'm going to be like, I was here first. I held on to him even when he was in the AHL. I deserve the credit. So Bob, save this clip right now. Pay attention. You're going to need to use it in a couple of years, but give it a couple of days if you're not like busy. Me and I've held on to him.
Yeah, no, we'll hold you to that. He's too busy making March Madness picks once again. But I ask you this question, Anna, this is big. Who delivered the most for you in fantasy hockey this week? It's time for the delivery of the week brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have?
Shocking to none, I'm sticking with Carolina, and I'm going with Jesperi Kotkaniemi. 5-point night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. What a performance for him in that game this past weekend. Then he goes back to Montreal. He goes to the Bell Center, hunting for some revenge, and he gets the Canes the shootout winner. So he's really impressed me this week. He's come to his own on the Canes, and I think he's leveling up to what a lot of people hoped he would become.
I won't lie, I was all over KK in that game on a point prop, a goal prop, and he scores a goal in the shootout. So it did nothing for me betting-wise, but I digress. I have Jared McCann of the Seattle Kraken. Fear the Kraken, fear the McCann. McCann, Beniers, Eberle, the top line for Seattle, who seems like they're going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. His last 10 games, 6 goals, 6 assists, 12 points. He has 31 goals, a career high already through 61 outings. Prorated over 82, that's a 42-goal pace for Jared McCann, Leafs legend. Jared McCann. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL, Anna.
Yeah, I mean, he's had, I think, like, what, 15, 18 shots across his last four games? Yeah. Like, so it's not that he's just scoring. He's putting up so many shots night after night. He's bound to score. He's one of the most underrated players, I think, probably in fantasy right now, I would have to say. He's still available in like 50% of leagues, I think, which is like ridiculous numbers considering the fact that he's like a 30-goal scorer and he's on this successful Seattle Kraken team. So I don't know who isn't picking up Jared McCann.
Yeah, I think people stay away because of the team and the association, but you're so right. Like, I think he's a must-add right now. Some quick hitters to wrap. Pierre-Luc Dubois, injury replacements. I mentioned Nemestikov is playing with Ehlers and Wheeler. Externally, Jared McCann, who's got the eligibility to center. TJ Oshie's been sneakily hot lately. 5 goals, 3 assists, 8 points over his last 6. Eric Halla with the New Jersey Devils, 2 goals, 6 points in his last 4. We always say this when centers get banged up, Anna, there's a lot of center depth on the waiver wire usually. So I you know, this will be an easy replacement in my world.
Yeah, I'm not too worried. There's so many players that are dual eligible, even like trial eligible this year, this year. So I don't think it's that big of an issue. Center is always the position that falls the most in fantasy, right? Because there's just so many options out there. So don't think it's a big deal.
Wanted to give a shout out as well to a guy you pimped last week following the trade to Washington, Rasmus Sandin. He was promoted to power play one. I could see him picking up some points on that one tee with Alex Ovechkin. Scores his first goal, albeit it was ugly. Phoenix Copley, what are you doing, man? 1 goal, 4 assists, 5 points over 2. And most importantly, as we get set for next week, Anna, the schedule manipulation. I'll bring this up 17 times with you next week. The fantasy playoffs, I'm all about manipulating that schedule. A 4-game week for the Washington Capitals next week.
Yeah, and I think he's a must pick up right now. What a start he's had. So young, once again. If I'm gambling on anyone right now, it's these young guys moving to new environments, finally getting the opportunity to succeed. So I picked him up. I hope you guys did too after listening to our episode earlier.
Any more faith in Jacob Markstrom or Dan Vladar down the stretch? Markstrom picks up a random shutout, and I loved it because I'm playing Jay Conn in fantasy hockey this week.
No, I'm taking Fleury. That's
You're
it.
Fading. Okay, yep. And
fading the Flames.
Quick hit on Colorado because the Avalanche, we talk about slates next week, another team. There's 14 different teams with 4-game slates. Colorado, I think you pick apart their depth, right? You look at Girard. I've seen Devon Taves cut and dropped in a couple leagues. I think you're picking up any Avalanche you can right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those are like, that's a team like Boston. They're the Boston Bruins of the West. There's so much secondary production potential depending on who's playing with who and who's playing where. So I think you have to pick up anyone on the Avs right now.
41 goals for Colorado in the last 10 games. They're pretty damn good, and watch out for them in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And watch out for Anna Dua. Thanks so much for this.
Thanks for having me on my own podcast.
Yes. Well, yeah, you know what I mean. I'm just saying thanks. I'm being the host here, Anna. We'll talk on Monday. Many thanks once again to Jay Conn from SiriusXM and NHL Network Radio. For Anna Dua and producer Bob Bender, I'm Nick Alberga. Join us on Monday as we look at the waiver wire for week 22 of the fantasy hockey season. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.